Okay, beginning of the second paddock of Ksubis, Tezvav Amid Beis, 15b5. Okay? Now, till now we learned the various dinim of the Ksuba, if the guy believed to say she is a psula, not a psula, that whole thing. Now, the Gemara says very simple. Ishishin is sarmalishin is garshal. A woman became a widow or divorced. Now, that's when she collects the Ksuba, right? If she's divorced or widowed. Here, Mary, she says, Psula Nesasani, I got married when I was a virgin. 15, Tezvav Amid Beis. Therefore, I'm entitled to a ksuba of 200 zuz. And the husband says, Loi, kiala mana nesiticha. I married you when you were a widow. And therefore, you're only going to get $100 ksuba. Just fighting what she was when she got married to this guy. Was she a widow or a psula? So the Gemara says like this. Im yashedim shiotze ben numa, if they're witnesses that she went out with ehem numa, meaning what it actually means is, the Gemara is going to explain what it means. It's a type of hairstyle or whatever. No, that's not what the
I have a question for you.
One second.
We learned that this morning, right?
Yeah, we learned that in the Mishnah this morning.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
On the last thing we did, we were talking about when Cohen marries, like, the boss.
Their hair on his shoulders.
And the kids are...
So it was the custom when they lived the virgin.
No, that's the second thing.
Question.
Well, I'm listening.
The law...
Yeah.
When a Cohen marries a divorcee, okay, his kids are not Cohening. Can the daughters marry a Cohen?
No, she's a chalala.
Yeah, can she marry a Cohen?
No. Oh. Okay, the Gemara says, a round myrtle canopy or a veil that the bride would wear. A certain type of a... In other words, certain things that they did for... A certain type of weddings they did for virgin girls. So I can say, basically there's a fight if she was a virgin when she got married. They're not fighting that she wasn't... Everybody agrees. They say... She says, when I got married to you, I was a virgin, and therefore the ksuba is 200 zuz. And he says, no, you weren't a virgin. You were almana. So you only get 100. Why can't you look at the ksuba? Obviously, the ksuba is not here. In fact, you can look in the ksuba and see what it says, right?
They're arguing because she wants to collect.
She wants to collect 200 versus 100. So it says, if there were edim that she had this type of canopy, the reisha peru on her head was let down, ksuba masayim. Then she gets, because that's a proof that she was a virgin bride. Because that's the weddings they did for virgin girls. Special canopies with her hair down and so on. They used to also have a custom that when the virgin girl got married, they would give out nuts to the people.
No. So,
no.
What?
Candy, like, do candy.
Yeah, they would do, it wasn't candy, by the way. Parched grain. They would dry it in the oven, remain sweet permanently, and they gave this grain to the children at the weddings of virgin brides.
Yeah, we had this. We normal. It's a grain.
Not candies. It was parched grain. But it was very sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, so therefore, the Gemara says, like, but by the way, what happens if not? If there's no proof, witnesses, what type of wedding it is, the Mishnah doesn't say, right? But we'll see later in the Gemara that it's going to be. You have the page? You don't have the page.
No,
give it to me.
I don't know if I have the right Gemara.
You have the right Gemara.
Why need Armelo? Why just an Almana period?
Because in Aramaic, that's what it is.
But the Mishnah is supposed to be...
No, but they use all those words too. Now, who's the burden of proof on?
The man.
No.
She wants to get money.
She wants to get money from him, no?
Well, I thought that was the exception with regard to...
No, he has to pay her the ksuba. The question is, he says, I owe you 100. She says, no, you owe me 200. She wants to get 200 from the guy. She has to prove that she was a virgin. Because she wants to take away money, more money from him. $100 for sure he has to give. The question is, what's with the second 100? So the burden of proof is on her. That's very simple. The Mishnah said, if there were witnesses that remembered that she had such a virgin wedding, then she gets 200. But the maid, the Rabbi Yeshua, now we're going to see exactly in the Gemara what this means. But Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Yeshua admits, because remember before in the Mishnahs, the girl says, I was with a kosher guy, and we don't know. So Rabbi Gamliel says, she's believed, and Rabbi Yeshua says, she's not believed. Right? So yet, in this case, Rabbi Yeshua will see exactly in the Gemara the continuation of this Mishnah. It says like this. Rabbi Yeshua admits, if somebody says to his friend, okay, a guy owns a field. I have a field. And you come to me one day, and I say to you, you know something? This field used to belong to your father, but I bought it from him. And then you say, hey, if the omit, prove that he sold it to you. I myself come and admit, right? I say, you know, this field, this house I live in, it used to belong to your father, but he sold it to me. So the guy here says, well, no, you're admitting it was my father's, prove that you bought it. So Rabbi Yeshua agrees, Shu Neman, that the guy is believed. Rabbi Yeshua says the guy is believed. Why? Shapesha asir or pesha hid. The mouth that forbids is the mouth that permits.
What could have he said?
Huh?
What could he have
because,
said?
Because, well, but, v'im yesh edim shishalaviv, but if there's witnesses that it was his father's field, v'im elakati amen, and the guy says, I purchased from him, ain't an amen, he's not believed.
The
okay.
Same idea as the girl that says I was captured.
Pesha aser, pesha hiter. Exactly the case. The mouth that forbids is the mouth that permits. Remember we learned before the Gemara. The woman said, that's too good. The woman said, I was captured, but nobody touched me. But we didn't know, without her, we wouldn't know that she was captured. So then if you believe it that she was captured, you have to believe it that she wasn't touched. But if there are witnesses that she was captured, then she's not believed. Right?
This field belongs to your father. I bought it.
Yeah.
What kind of place you also appreciate? How is it?
Yeah.
How
do we know it was your father's?
You can't come
and. No, that's if the witnesses that it was your father, and then you're the son, right? And you say to me, "Hey, it's my father's field. Give it back. Prove that you bought it." I would have to prove that I bought it, and if I can't. It goes back to you. Correct? To the son. The father is not alive.
I don't see Pesha Asar Pesha Hiti. The girl says, you know, I was captured, you know, it just come and say something, you know. But here, does this field belong to your father? What?
Without him, would you know that it belonged to your father?
The guy is owning, he's sitting there right now. This belongs to
him. I'm sitting in a house, yeah, and you come visit me. I say, you know this house I'm living in? Your father used to own it. You never knew that. You have no proof that your father owned it.
He doesn't know?
The son doesn't know.
The son doesn't know?
The owner, me. I'm the owner, yeah? I come to you. I say, you know this house I'm in? It used to be your father's, but he sold it to me.
Yes,
now, without me, would you ever know that was your father's? No. So whoever made the problem that it's your father's? Me. If you believe me making the problem that was your father's, then you have to believe me that I bought it from him. Yeah. But if there are witnesses that it was your father's field, and I come and say, yeah, it was your father, but I bought it. I have to prove that I bought it. And otherwise I'm not believed.
But what did they're aiding? What are they going to say?
Well, one time it was his father's house.
So, my nafkamina, he says, in a sense, that one time it belonged to your father, but it belongs to me now. And Adim said, yes, it belonged to the father. So no.
That's all.
Okay.
So now the son says, so prove that you bought it.
Why can't we say, Peshaw to Peshaw?
Because there would.
What did the witnesses are not adding anything.
Yes, they are.
What are they adding?
They're making it his father's without me saying it.
But he said it, and he brought the...
Well, no, the witness is dumb. Well, it doesn't matter who brought it. It doesn't really matter who brought it.
Before he
if
said
the
it
son can bring witnesses that the house was the father's, yeah, the guy is not believed to say, I bought it unless if he can prove it.
Doesn't make sense.
Obviously, if he gives a deed, he proves it.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense.
Why?
Why do we say Edim are more important than him? If the Edim were not there, we accept.
You believe the Edim? That it was once his father's? Yes or no?
We have to flip the coin.
No. Do you believe the Edim that it was his father's?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a chazaka that the house belonged to his father.
Yes.
Now, I come along and say, I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Who has to prove? Me or the witnesses?
But.
What but?
There is a pesha aser, pesha.
There's no pesha aser. Because there are witnesses that say it was the father's house.
No,
without me, you also know that it was the father's house.
Okay, I guess it depends on before you said before.
It doesn't matter when the witnesses come. We'll see that later. It doesn't matter when the witnesses come.
He could have said it on. Depends on when he says it. Because
doesn't matter.
If he says it first, and we don't have the Edim yet, it means...
Why should he believe that it's his house? It's not a peshos, it's the witnesses that testify.
The witnesses don't come until a week later.
It doesn't matter, even if they come a year later.
Or retroactively.
If the girl was captured, and a week after the girl said I was captured, but nobody touched me. Witnesses came and said the girl was captured. Is she believed anymore? No. The only reason she's believed is what's called migui. But it's a real strong migui. Migui normally means, we'll see this in the Gemara. Migui normally means, you believe me with what I say. Because if I'm a liar, I could have said a better lie.
It's different.
This is even better. Peshos is even better than a migui. Peshos means, the whole problem was created by me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe me in creating the problem, then you have to believe me by uncreating the problem that I bought it. But if there are witnesses that the guy's father owned the house, so the problem was not created by me. Witnesses testified this the guy's house. If I want to change that, I need to prove that I bought it, or he gave it to me. See, if I have a deed, yeah, I prove it. If I have an Edim, I prove it.
And it doesn't matter when they come.
Doesn't
they
matter.
Come a year later, right. Le Mafra, we are going to undo right. The whole thing?
Right. The Grashi says on top line of the page, "Zeh ain't a yedei shaitzah shalavet." This guy doesn't even know that it was his father's house, right? The son didn't know it was the father's house.
Zeh is the son.
Yeah. Umash sha'asad, and therefore this friend that said it used to be your father's house, hit that he undid the problem. If you believe him that it was his father's house, you have to believe him that he bought it. But if we know that it was the father's house by Edim, then I didn't make the problem. The problem is there. I need to undo the problem. I have to prove it. Okay, so now the Gemara said, what was the first case of the Mishnah? The girl says, I was a virgin when we got married. The Baal says, no, you're a widow. So the Gemara says, if there are witnesses that she had a bridal chuppah, you know, that whole thing, then she's believed, yeah? And if not, if there are no witnesses, what's the din? Then the husband's believed. Right? Because she wants to take away money from me. So the Gemara says, time adikadim, this only is because they're witnesses. Haleka adim, if there are no witnesses, baal mehemin, the husband is believed.
This is what I said.
What did you say?
nothing. Let's go.
Gemara
is
going to
change his mind.
If the witness says she had a virgin chuppah, what's the din? She gets 200.
Yeah.
And if not, what does she get?
100.
So who was believed?
The Eidim.
There are no Eidim.
Somebody said that it was a
no.
Virgin Chuppah.
Then she's believed. And if there are no witnesses?
There are no witnesses.
Then who's believed? Hello? If there are no witnesses that she was a psula, who wins?
The husband.
Right. And what does he have to give her?
$100.
Yeah? Now let me ask you a question. Doesn't a woman have a chazaka being a psula?
Exactly. We had it before.
Doesn't the guy have to prove that she's not? That's what the Gemara is asking here. Essentially. The Gemara says, if there's witnesses that she had a virgin bride, a chuppah, then she gets 200. If she doesn't have witnesses, then the husbands believe, not her. Right?
She's Motzi Mama.
Now, Rabbi Gamliel always says we believe her. And here you're saying you don't believe her.
But does it matter what it says in the Kesuba?
We don't have the Kesuba.
Oh, we don't have it.
If you have the Kesuba, you're right. If you have the Kesuba, there's no problem. Look in the Kesuba and say, they don't have it.
Okay, it's because we don't have Kesuba.
Of course. So it says, but if not, Baal Mehem and the husbands believed. So Lema Tanan, yeah. So let Lochedit does not take Ram Gamliel. They Ram Gamliel, because according to Ram Gamliel, we learned before in the Mishnah, Ram Gamliel said before Rav Eliezer that the woman is always believed. Right? And here, we're believing the husband, not the girl. Why? Sigmar answers no. Afilu teme Ram Gamliel. This Mishnah can even go according to Ram Gamliel. I, Ram Gamliel, in the Mishnah said before, she's believed. And here we say she's not. Yeah? Says here is different. Remember we learned before in the Gemara, why is the woman believed according to Ram Gamliel? Because she's Bari and he's Shema. Remember we learned the case Bari of Shema? Okay? The wife says, I was for sure a virgin. Or, I became raped after the Kedushin and it's your bad luck. Okay? The husband doesn't know for sure when she was raped. So, who's sure and who's not sure?
She's sure.
She's sure. And the husband's not sure. But in this case, the husband's sure and she's sure. In the other case, there's no way the husband would know when she got raped. Wasn't there. Right? So there the husband doesn't know for sure, and the wife knows for sure. Over there, Ram Gamliel says the woman is believed. But in our case, the husband says, I know when I married you, you weren't a virgin. And she says, yes, I was. So it's Bari and Bari, definite and definite. So how do you know Ram Gamliel says she's believed? Ram Gamliel only says the woman is believed when she's definite and the husband doubt if she's virgin or not. Right? But in the case where the argument is, he says, I know for sure you were a widow when I married you. I know for sure. And she says, no, I know for sure I was a virgin. So Ram Gamliel doesn't say she's believed. Why should she be believed?
Is that because of Motzi Mama?
No, but Lucheda, the problem over here is more, like I said. A girl by nature is a psula, not a psula. Okay. The husband says you're not. I married you when you were a widow. We don't know. Correct? Now, what chazaka does this girl have?
She's a psula.
She's a psula. The husband comes now and says, no, you're not. I married you when you were a widow. Who's changing over here?
He's changing.
Huh? He's changing. So why? So maybe she should be believed. Because she has a chazak on her side. When she said, I got married as a virgin, because she was born a virgin, and until you know differently, she remains a virgin, so she has a chazak on her side that she got married as a virgin. He wants to say you weren't a virgin, Lucheira, the burden of proof would be on him.
So why is he believed?
Ah, Saran Gamliel says, why? Because she still wants to extract money. So the burden of proof is on her.
Chazaka is not stronger than extracting money. If somebody has a chazaka, I have the money in my... there's no way I have...
Why is it different? I'll tell you very simple. If you you have money in your hand, yeah? Okay, let's say in this case. The husband has the money to pay the ksuba, correct? The wife's demanding a ksuba. They got divorced, right? She's demanding the ksuba. Who has the money in hand now?
The husband.
For sure the husband has the money. No question, right? She wants to extract money from him. Okay? She has to prove it. She has a chazak initially that she was a psula, but that chazaka doesn't last for life.
Mm.
Maybe she became non-psula. But right now he has a chazak of holding the money.
That's a stronger.
So it's a stronger chazak. What's a stronger chazaka? Me holding my money and you want to take it away from me? Or a girl saying, yeah, because I was born a psula, I'm still a psula. Maybe you're not. So Rav Gamliel says, in a case where the husband is doubtful, then she's right, because she has a chazaka, and the husband's complaint is weak, because he doesn't really know. But here the husband says, I married you for sure when you were a widow. Right? And I'm holding the money. You want to take out money from me by saying, I 30 years ago, for sure I was a virgin. Yeah, but that doesn't prove now you're a virgin. And the husband says, for sure I married you as a widow. So over there, Rav Gamliel holds. Even Rav Gamliel would agree she's not believed. If she has witnesses that she had a virgin chuppah, then she's believed. But if there's no witnesses, the mission implies clearly that she's not believed. Because she wants to extract money now from what the husband has, and she has to prove it.
We learned before, way back, that they rule that she's entitled to 200 anyways, because somehow it would only be beneficial.
That's Rav Gamliel says, only if the husband doesn't know. Like, she says, he lives with her, he says, you're not a virgin. He says, yeah. After the Kedushin, somebody raped me. So it's your bad luck. Now, the husband doesn't know that. He doesn't know when it happened. So over there, his hold of the money is weakened by him saying, I don't know. So she can extract money from him.
Side point. You wouldn't have like the hergesh, or to make it different between betula and not, and chupa different. It's kind of embarrassing for someone that is not betula. People notice that.
Let me ask a question. Today, the chupas are different?
No. Are they? I don't know. No. They're not.
The only thing that's different is the ksub. What's different today?
No, those songs was it says.
Okay, so
and
that then. Huh?
Everybody would say that.
The old days, right?
Oh, they
changed. Engagement a year?
Yeah, but not nowadays.
I know.
Their clothing is different. They don't have white clothing. Or that's a goyish, I mean.
They do, they don't. But I know second marriages, they wore white. No. I did second marriages, they wore white. No.
Yes.
But you're not allowed to.
Full gown?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not a proof today that it's the first marriage, because they're wearing white. But on those days, this hanuma, whatever, this bridal chuppah that they did, that they only did for virgins. Or giving out the grain, the corn, whatever, the parched, was only for psula. So if she could prove that that's a chuppah they have, that's what it was done.
Did they wear white in the old days? You remember in Tuba, was it?
Yeah, no, yeah.
They used to do borrowed clothes, but that wasn't the chuppah. That was Shidduch day.
But it was white, something absolute.
Yeah, because I was sign of purity. Yeah, they have the kindness, but that's not the chuppah, that was the dating.
Under Yom Kippur they used
to do. Tuba Av and Yom Kippur.
The guys were white also.
They wore kittles.
Kittles.
So now the Gemara asks like this. Well, the Ka'arul and my Ka'arul, so the guy that asked the question didn't know the difference between Bari and Bari and Bari and Shema. He asks, why over there? And Rambam Gamliel says, she's believed in him. So the Gemara answers, you know, one's Bari and Bari. So the Gemara says, the guy that asked the question didn't realize there's a difference. It was so obvious. So the Gemara says, no, like this. Kiven the Rav Nashim Besulas Nisas. Most girls get married as a virgin. So it's like Bari Vishama. When the husband says, you weren't a virgin, it's like not 100% for sure. The Gemara said there's a majority, the majority of girls, at least in those days, got married when they were virgins. Right? So therefore, when the husband says, I know for sure you weren't a virgin, he's really going against the majority concept. So it's a weakened. That's what the guy asked. So the Gemara answered, no. It's still Bari Vishama, and it's Bari and Bari, and there's a difference between Bari and Bari and Bari Vishama. The one that asked the question maintained that in this case it's like Bari Vishama, because the husband's going against the majority that girls get married when they're a virgin. Okay, now the Gemara says, it's logical to say like that also. Because what does it say at the end of our Mishnah? That Rabbi Yeshua admits to Rambam Gamliel. Right? Now how does that fall down from heaven? So if you say, in this case, Rambam Gamliel agrees to Rabbi Yeshua that she's not believed, then it makes sense when the Mishnah says, in the next case, and Rabbi Yeshua agrees to Rambam Gamliel. But if Rambam Gamliel maintains in the beginning of our Mishnah that the woman would be believed, so what's made that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit in. Midatani made that Rabbi Yeshua. So he says, if you tell me Rambam Gamliel is speaking a case of Maida, that means he agrees in this case the woman is not believed. Shapir, it makes sense. But if you're saying Rabbi Gamliel is not speaking about a case where Rabbi Gamliel agrees that because it's Bari and Bari that the woman is not believed if there are no witnesses that she got married as a virgin. So Rabbi Shul and Mamayda, who's Rabbi Shul made the two? In other words, Gemara is saying, if in our Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel is admitting to Rabbi Yeshua, then it makes sense. At the end of the Mishnah, it says Rabbi Yeshua admits to Rabbi Gamliel. Right? But our Mishnah starts a new parak. Right? So just because they're arguing the previous parak, it doesn't make sense to say in a new chapter that Rabbi Yeshua admits to Rabbi Gamliel. In fact, Dumar is going to say that's what it means, though. He's going back to the first chapter. The Gemara thought in this Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel agrees to Rabbi Yeshua that in this case the woman is believed if there are no witnesses. Even though before Rabbi Gamliel says she's always believed, and here it says not because it's Bari and Bari. So Rabbi Yeshua says, though, if it's a Pesha us, a Pesha hitter, then she's believed. Or in the case of the field, he would be believed. In other words, like this, the concept of Pesha Aser, Pesha Hitir, many Rishenim learn, is the concept of Migui. The word Migui means sins. That's literally what the word Migui means.
In Aramaic?
Yeah. Migui literally means sins. What does it mean in the sense of a Migui? Since he could have said a better lie, and he says the weaker lie, so you believe him. That's the concept of migui. Now, by the woman in the previous Mishnah, if you remember, we learned, she could have said, when she said, I got raped, after, she could have said, Amukasates, a wood did it to me. She could have said that, but she didn't. She said, I was raped after the Kedushin. Right? So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say, we believe her. Because if she wants to lie, she could have said a better lie that she never was raped and it was done by a stick. You know, take away the virginity. So we believe that's what Rabbi Gamliel says. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer said in the previous mission, why do you believe the woman? Because she has a migush, she could have said a better lie. Rabbi Yeshua says, we don't believe her with this migush. We don't believe with a migui. So now we say that Yeshua admits and agrees that if it's a migui of Pesha us a Pesha hitted, that means since you're believing him on A, you have to believe him on B. Since you're believing him that it's no good, that it's a problem, you have to believe him that it's not a problem. Since you're believing him that it was his father's, then you have to believe him that I bought it. Rabbi Yeshua says that's a much stronger migui, and that migui we go by.
Pesha
Asar. Pesha Asar, according to most Rishonim, by the way, same. Is a concept of a migui. It's a much better migui.
How could it be much better? It says both of them are sins. He could have said something worse. But
maybe he's not that smart to think of it.
Either case here, what do you mean? This
migui means like this. You believe me with what I said, because if I wanted to lie,
I would say
a better lie.
Okay.
Now, how do you know I am able to be that smart to think of a better lie?
So what's the migui? I mean, the pesha
also pesha. Pesha also pesha. It is something else. I said this house. The woman says I was captured, but nobody touched me.
She could have said a better lie.
What's the better lie?
That
she said the worst scenario.
She made the whole problem.
But which one is worse? To be
Pesha Asa Pesha Hita is a much stronger reason to believe somebody than the concept of a migui. Migui means you believe me with what I said. Because if I wanted a lie, I could have said a better lie. Yeah? How do you know maybe? Maybe I was not that smart. Maybe I didn't know that concept. Maybe. So those that don't believe migui is because you're just believing him because he could have said a better lie. Maybe he couldn't say a better lie. Maybe he's not that smart. Pesha also means the woman says I was taken captive, but nobody raped me. Yeah? It's not a question of a better lie. You have to believe her because since she made the problem to begin with, if you're believing her on part A, then you must believe her on part B. Because without her saying I was captured, we don't know that she was captured. There's no witnesses. How do you know she was captured?
Well, maybe she was not smart enough to say...
Say what?
They raped me.
It's not a question of smart, it's a question of fact. They either raped her or didn't rape her. So she said they didn't. But how do you know she was taken captured? Because she said so. So if you're believing her on A, you must believe her on B. Because why can you believe her on B and not on A? So if there are witnesses that she was captured, so then you're not believing her on A. Because witnesses testified she was captured. Now the question is, do you believe it that she was touched or not? So that you can't believe her. So even if you learn, like most of the Shanan, the Peshas and Peshita is the concept of a migui. Migui means you believe him, because he could have lied. What Peshasa means, you must believe him that she's pure, because if you don't believe it that she was pure, how can you believe it that she was captured? She could have just kept quiet. Nobody would know anything. So Peshasa, that's what the Gemara, Omeida Rabbi Yeshua, that even though in all the previous cases we don't believe the woman, even though Rabbi Gamliel said she has a migui, right? But Rabbi Yeshua says, Pesha Os and Pesha Yit is so powerful, we believe her even in that. Much stronger. Migui means we believe her what she said because she could have said something else. Here, she said two things. If you believe her on A, you have to believe her on B. And if you're not believing her on B, don't believe her on A. If you're believing her, she wasn't raped. If you're not going to believe that she wasn't raped, then you can't believe it, that she wasn't captured either. And that she was never captured, she was never raped, so we don't know.
Which one is worse, the capturing or the rape?
No, once they're captured, there's a chazaka that she was raped. So she wants to undo the chazaka, she's not going to be believed, unless it's Peshasa. It's very logical.
She could have said...
But the Gemara is saying that if Ram Gamliel admits by Bari and Bari that she's not believed, then the Mishnah makes sense by saying made the Rabbi Yeshua. But if Ram Gamliel doesn't say that, then what is Rabbi Yeshua admitting to? So the Gemara says, no, he's going back to the first parak. Even though Rabbi Yeshua over there held she's not believed, but if there's a Pesha Os, a Pesha Hita, she's still believed. That Gemara says. The Gemara says, Misavis Rabbi Yeshua, he perikin koi. Do you think Rabbi Yeshua goes about this parak, this din? No. Amigui koi, he's going on the first parak. Rapirkin kamoi koi, he's going on the first parak. When Gamliel said, the woman said I was raped, but it was after the Kedushin, right? All that. Over there is Amigui. So over there, Rabbi Yeshua says, I disagree with Amigui, but if it's Pesha Os and Pesha Hitter, I believe it. So now the Gemara before in the first parak maybe brought on five cases where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing. So Gemara says, what case of the first parak are we talking about? He says like this, Ilei Maho, if you're telling me the case, remember the Gemara, Aisim Uberes, the woman is pregnant, unmarried woman is pregnant. V'armela, the Besdin Center, Mativa Shulu Bezeh, who's the father of this baby? You know, is it a kosher baby? And she says, Me'ish Pleini V'Koyinu. You know, it's a kosher guy, right? So Ram Gamliel Rabbi Eliezer, I'm in the menace. Rabbi Shua says, no, lo mi pi anu chayim, we don't live from her mouth, she's not believed. Right? So the Gemara says, my migui ego, there's no migui. Because Hare Kreisa Beishina, his stomach is between her teeth. It's a funny expression. It's an expression means, the girl's pregnant. What's she going to have a migui to say, I wasn't with the guy? She's pregnant. What's the migui? What would be the migui? I was with a kosher guy because she could have said I wasn't with anybody. She can't say I wasn't with anybody. That's not a migui. She's pregnant. Duh. She's not Yoshka. Maybe Yoshka's mother could say it. So, okay, and another case. She's not pregnant. They saw her speaking with a guy, and they said, Mativo Shalizeh, who's this guy that you're, pretty close with? She said, Ish Pleini V'Kayinu. So then she has now the question is, can this lady marry a Kayin?
She could have said, I was the...
1 minute. Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Lezer says, she's not menace. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm Elaine B'Pianu Chayin, right? So also, my Migui Ika. Let's want to understand the Migui. Because remember we learned before, there was a machlekes in the Gemara Medaberes. Ziri said Medaberes means Nistara. She was secluded. Not she actually lived with the guy. She was secluded. So then, Migu di Boyam Alein Evalti. She could say, I wasn't with the guy. I wasn't intimate with him. The comment, and then she said, Nevalti Mehem, and then she's believed. But according to Ravasi that says Medaberes means Nivalas, that the witnesses that show she was with the guy, she lived with him, and she's just saying it's a kosher, my migui ikur. What would be the migui? Over there, the migui would be, I wasn't with anybody. Right? So that's only good if you say medaberes means secluded. So she could say, yeah, I was secluded with a guy, but we weren't intimate. We didn't have relations. So that's a migui. She said that I was with the guy, but he's kosher, because she could have said I wasn't with nobody. But according to the opinion, that says there are two witnesses that she was with the guy. What migui is it? It's a migui against Adam. Elaha, another case. This is all chazar of the first parak, by the way. He and Maris Mukhes Eitani. A guy lives with a girl, not a virgin. So, hey, not a virgin. She says, Mukhes Eitani. I'm a wood injury victim. Or she said, no, drusis ishat. No, you were defiled by a man. And therefore, it's a mistake. Iksub is only 100, whatever, right? So, I'm going to leave Rabbi Lazar Ibn the Menace. And Yeshua says, no, let me pray, she not believed, right? So again, my migo iko. What migo are we talking about over there? According to Rabbi Lazar, it says, b'mana v'lay klum, it's like this. Before in the Gemara, we learned a machlekes between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yechanan. Yeah, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yechanan. When a guy gets married to this woman, not a virgin, He said, hey, you're not a virgin. She says, I was a mukhes eitz. Yeah, I'm not a virgin, but not from a man. Okay? So how much is she asking for? So one opinion of the Gemara said she's asking for 100, and he says, I'm giving you nothing. And the other opinion says she's asking for 200, and the guy wants to give her 100. So he says like this. According to Rabbi Lazar, that says they're arguing, b'mana v'lay klum, meaning she wants 100, and the husband wants to give her nothing. She could have said, Mukhes Eitani Tachtecha, because she could have said, I was a Mukhes Eit after I got married to you, after the Kedushin, and therefore I get 200 Zuz. And she said, Mikar, the last day I'm on, and therefore when she says I want 100, she's believed. In other words, like this, if she's asking for 100, there's a migui. Because technically she could have asked for 200 and said I was a mukhes eitz after the kedushin, and then I would get 200 for sure. But according to Rabbi Yechdam Masayim Amana, my migui iku, what migui is there? There's no migui because there's no better lie. She's asking for 200. He says, no, I owe you 100. She says, I was a virgin. He says, no, you're not. Right? Because he also could have made that mukhes eitz was 200. So Gemara says, again, there's no migui. So what migui is Rabbi Yeshua arguing against that he says, but a pesha asa we do believe. So Gemara answers like this. Ela, another case. Okay? Hanesis isha b'limotzla b'sulam. Again, a guy marries a girl, she's not a virgin. She says, I was raped after the Kedushin. Therefore, you're bad luck. Nistapcha sadeo literally means your field was flooded. If I sell you a piece of land, yeah, and the day after I sell it to you, a flood came and destroyed the whole land.
Bad luck.
Whose bad luck is it?
The buyer.
The buyer, not the sellers. Right? She said, listen, I had kedushin with you, I was a virgin. After the Kedushin, before the wedding, remember in the year's time, somebody raped me. It's your tough luck that I'm not a virgin anymore. Because she was raped, and the guy's not a Kohen. So he says, You're a non-virgin before the Kedushin with you. And therefore it's a mistaken deal. I thought I'm marrying a psula, and you're not a psula. So when Gamliel Rabbi Lazar says, Namanis, she's believed. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Let me panachai." We don't believe her again. So what's the migui? Because when she said, "I was raped," yeah, she had a better excuse. She could have said, "I was a mukhes eitz," because mukhes eitz, the guy can have his tainus to say you're not a virgin. If she can prove,
according to who?
According to everybody. If she can prove that she was mukhes eitz, the husband cannot say you're not a psula.
And she proves.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so when she lies that she was raped after the Kedushin, if she was a liar, the migui is she could have said a better lie.
But she can't prove it.
If she so could, what?
If she could have proved it, it would have been a better lie.
What's a better lie? What's a better lie?
Who gets it?
And she's saying the lesser lie.
Yeah.
So the count of Migli is we believe her, because if she wanted a lie, she could have said a better lie.
But if she cannot prove it...
Doesn't matter. He would have to prove it. Why? Because the din is like this. A woman that was raped after Kedushin, why is Mukha say it's a better lie? Why is Mukha say it's a better lie? Because a woman that's a Mukha say it's can marry a Kayan. A girl that was raped after Kedushin cannot marry a Kayan anymore. So what's a better lie? Mukasait is a better lie.
Cannot marry a Kohen anymore. How about if that husband was a Kohen?
Can't marry.
That means that they have to...
God forbid, if a wife of a Kohen, even halachically today, if a wife of a Kohen was raped, they have to divorce.
Oh, even by a Kohen?
I'm saying by a Kohen.
If a wife of a Kohen got raped by a Kohen?
By anybody. Even a guy.
Even after Khatuna?
Yeah.
They have to get a divorce?
No, we're going to see later. It's good idea to in the three program of Rambam, this thing is these days. She's not believed for this Kohen.
But somebody else.
Yeah. No. Tomorrow's Rambam. The din is like this. If a woman, a wife of a kohen, yeah, comes to the husband and says, you know, before we got married, I was with a guy. Now, a girl that was with a guy, can she marry a kohen?
No.
Hello? No. No. Because she's a zayna. Zayna means a woman who had relations with somebody she would not be allowed to marry.
Api Torah.
Yeah.
But we've had this discussion before.
Oh, but what? No, but the din is like this. If after a woman was married, yeah, she tells her husband, I was raped. Or she says, I was with a guy before the wedding. Then she's not believed. We don't believe her. Why? Maybe she wants to. Maybe she fell in love with somebody else, and she's looking for an excuse to get out of her husband. So she came up with this cockamamie excuse. But the halacha is, but she now cannot marry another kohen, because she already forbade herself on a kohen, and her husband she's not believed because maybe she fell in love with somebody else. She wants to get out of the marriage. Right, but as far as another kohen, if this husband dies, and she's a widow, yeah. This girl cannot marry a Kohen.
Can marry an Israeli?
Yeah.
So maybe she fell in love with another Israeli.
Because she's a widow now. Why can't she marry Yisrael? Yisrael can marry a girl that was with a guy.
What if she was with someone that she could have married, not a boy?
When?
After the marriage. Either way.
After you're married, you can't be with anybody. What do you mean?
Right, I mean, so either way. It's not like if she comes...
One second. If a married woman was with another man, yeah? If a married woman was willingly with another man, whether the other man is a guy or a Jew, she cannot stay married to her husband.
Is it anything or not?
No. If she says to the husband has a right to say, I don't believe you.
Right. If that husband...
You tell the husband I don't believe you. If he still wants to stay married to her. Okay, but now, if a woman
was raped... If the husband dies, can she marry
Who?
If the husband dies, then she can marry another Kohen? If she has said that she was not with a Goy, but with another Jew.
Yes, I'm saying like this. A girl that was fooling around with boys who were Jewish... can marry a Kohen. If there was a guy, because she's not allowed to marry the guy, the Jewish boy she can marry. Unless if it was a relative, she wouldn't be allowed to marry. Incest. Right?
Except for a married woman. He's talking about a married woman.
No, I'm saying, if the girl's not married, okay? She fooled around with boys. If they're all Jewish, she can still marry a kohen. If one of them was a guy, or incest, she cannot marry a guy. Right? Now, what happens?
Wouldn't the shotgun ask her that question?
No. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. A married woman, God forbid, that was raped, can stay married to the kohen to the husband, not to the kohen. If he's not a kohen.
But he has to say he doesn't believe her, yeah?
No, if she was raped, I'm saying. If she had an affair, then he has to say, I don't believe you.
To stay married.
Right.
If he says, I do believe you.
Then you have to divorce.
Why is that? Why? They have to be killed, no?
Yeah, but nobody's killing anybody today. But can she stay married? Asura l'basura l'bail. Not only that, by the way, we learned in the Gemara, if a woman, a married woman, had an affair willingly with somebody, yeah? And the husband divorces her, she cannot marry the guy she was with. Asura l'bal, asura l'bail. Today I'm talking about, there's no death today.
The reason is because of that?
No. Asura, the Gemara didn't say to learn that from a pasuk. Asura l'bal, asura l'bail. A woman who committed adultery is forbidden to stay married to the husband and cannot marry the guy she was with.
Midoraisa.
It's midoraisa. The Gemara learns
that. What's the difference if they're going to get killed anyway? So she.
Today.
I'm saying.
There's no witnesses.
No, I'm saying.
There's no witnesses.
At that time.
There's no witnesses. Oh.
But if nobody knows, only she knows, and the new husband knows.
Yeah, and if she did get married, is the children mass bastards?
No. Especially if nobody knew about it. But even if the guy was a guy. Here, back.
Hello.
Hi.
this is
a long time ago.
Long time ago or now.
Okay, but I'm saying it.
So it's on different coin of Israel, the same thing? It's
yeah. The only difference is, if she was Nansa, God forbid, she was raped, so then Eishes Yisrael is Mutter, Eishes Kain is forbidden. Wife of Kain would have to divorce her. But if she doesn't tell him, he doesn't know. That's, you know. What?
She's just nothing.
I've heard worse things than that. Trust me.
Worse thing than
that? Okay. So therefore, the Gemara says, "So hachi come Ram Golda Mehem never come Rav Shoyin Gamliel Bahai Migui the hacha the Migui over." So what's the last case of the Gemara? The Gemara says, "Okay, it's the case where she says I was raped after the kedushin. It's your tough luck." And Ram Gamliel says she's believed because she could have lied and says Mukaseisani, right? Because she would still be Mutter Lokayim. So then, Ram Gamliel says Rabbi Shoyin over here says to Ram Gamliel, "Bahai Migui the hacha medina loch." But the field, that migoy I do admit to you. But bahu migoy the husband, that migoy over there, I argue on you. About nistafchas, mukaseitani. So Gemara says, michti. Now the question is, hai migoy v'hai migoy. The first case when she said I was raped and she could have said I was mukaseit. Or this case with the field belonging to your father, they're both migoys. So what's the difference that Rabbi Yeshua says, this migoy, I don't believe you. And this migui, I do believe you. Tigmar says, "Hasim and Eshar Shachet Lefanecha." The case of the wife, there's an axe slaughtered in front of you. It's a metaphor, basically. It means like this: when a guy in the case of the guy that married his the wife, and she wasn't the psula. He says, how come you're not a psula? She says, I was raped after the Kedusha. He says, no, you were before the Kedusha, right? So it's like a case where a guy sees his animal slaughtered, he's going to want to investigate who slaughtered it. He's going to want to know who slaughtered it. But here, hacha, in the case of the field, there's no ox slaughtered, meaning, without this guy saying, again, this is the advantage of Peshasa, without him saying that the field belonged to your father, there's no doubt here. Here, by the case, she was raped. You had the question, before or after? So Rabbi Shua says, but the fact is she was raped. So then the migui is not good. But here, Pesha Asin means, without him saying the field was your father's, we would have not known that it's your father's. So of course it's stronger. We explained before, Pesha Asin is stronger than a regular migui.